Domestic violence affects millions of women, children, and men of every race, religion, sexual and gender orientation, and economic status. There's a stereotype that domestic violence is only black eyes and physical violence, but it's also yelling and humiliation and stalking, manipulation, coercion, threats, isolation. In 1994, the Violence Against Women Act was passed. We've come a long way, but not quite far enough, and we are very excited to have back in the studio with us for National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, Executive Director of Advocates for Family Peace, Mandy Alto. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me again.
Mm-hmm. We are glad to have you here, but we wish that you wouldn't have a job. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yes, that's our goal, is to no longer have to exist ever again.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go to the website for Advocates for Family Peace, it says promoting peace and fostering change. And I wonder if you just kind of tell us the things that happen there and the services you provide.
Right. So our agency is available 24/7 to anyone that's experiencing a crisis in domestic violence. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a crisis on the moment. It might just be something that's been ongoing, happening in a relationship for a very long period of time, and people are just looking for some support and looking to understand kind of, what do I do now? We always say sometimes it's just really hard to know what to do. It seems like no choice is a good choice. So we provide a lot of advocacy and support. We provide emergency shelter for people that need it. And mostly we're just there to help make sure that people find healing from the trauma that they've experienced, and to hopefully give them a better quality of life.
So, Mandy, I experienced something about a month ago that I don't know if I should feel bad about myself or what. So I'm going to set this scenario for you. I went golfing. I was at a golf course in Minneapolis, and I was just getting there, and I was getting my golf shoes on, and probably 50 yards away from me, a car pulled up, and this young man was berating this woman like you probably know, that I've never experienced in my life. It was as if she was like an object. And he was screaming at her, and excuse me. I was very shook up, and I didn't know what to do. Now, I would have done something if he'd have been beating her. I mean, I would have sprinted over there. But I'm truly become, this is in Minneapolis now it can be anywhere, but I was truly afraid that if I did something, I could be in harm's way, because I felt that this guy was completely out of it. And then he they got in their car and they drove up to me, and he gave me some lip service.
Oh, sure.
And big time, like it was my fault for
and
watching
that you
them.
You can't legally say on the radio.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I made him aware that at least I was watching. That's the only thing I did. And I don't know if that was good or bad or what. But holy, what should a person do in a situation like that, Mandy? That's tough.
I think oftentimes so much of it is hidden. So the fact that you saw it is, sometimes it does happen. But I think oftentimes it just has to be what you feel is right in the moment. If you feel like someone's genuinely in danger, of course, call 911. Sometimes if you know the person too, that can actually make it that much harder, because like sometimes you know the two of them, in this case you didn't, and you want to try to support this person or hold this person accountable. But at the same time, you're also afraid, right? So this is what we face as a culture every day. Right. We know this violence is happening. We're looking at it from the outside. We know people are experiencing it. We see it. And it's like, what should we do? I think in those particular moments, I think you did the right thing, John. I mean,
I felt like I didn't. I felt but I didn't want to escalate it. And I know when she goes home, it's going to be worse. And she does. And I felt she was not in harm's way. But what we're talking about here is psychologically, it was a horrible thing.
Right. And I think, and oftentimes people that we serve will tell us that psychological violence is sometimes harder to deal mm-hmm. with than actually the physical violence. And I just need to clarify too, I myself have never experienced domestic violence, but you do see that constant gaslighting, the manipulation, the stalking, the constant berating, they wear a person down so that they're more easy to control. And so that's, you know, that intentional ongoing violence can be hard to endure day after day after day.
So I think what is also difficult to understand, if you have been so lucky to not have this in your life, is, you know, John, the, what you witnessed, and you wonder why is that woman with him?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, is always the question. And I think until we started asking some survivors what that meant, I didn't really understand it. I think you can easily have an answer to that if you haven't been through it, that can make you just not think about it anymore. Like, you put some judgment on someone who's going through this. But what are the answers that people have to why you stay in a situation that makes you feel lesser than, that you might be getting physically hurt?
Well, I think that's, oftentimes what I'll say is, maybe you're asking the wrong question.
Oh.
Like, sometimes I'll say, why don't you ask, why is he allowed to continue to abuse her?
Uh-huh.
Or why can't she leave?
Uh-huh.
Why can't a person leave a violent relationship? What is happening in society that people are in these relationships? So sometimes I think in society, we always have a tendency to want to somehow put the burden of ending the violence on the victim, right? It's your job to make sure this person doesn't hurt you. I mean, that's, you know, that's mm-hmm. mind-blowing. Like, somehow this person can stop this person from hurting them. And so I think sometimes when you think about it a little differently, you'll start to kind of maybe ask questions in a little bit different way. Because, yes, you're right, from the outside, to keep ourselves safe, we distance on ourselves and we say, that can't happen to me. And I'm safe. Really, you're not. But it makes you feel safer to put another person over there away from you and to say, I don't understand that. It doesn't look normal to me. And I keep myself safer by somehow saying, there's got to be something wrong there that person stays in that violence.
God,
you know, it's really
such a good
easy
point
to do that. And so sometimes it's really, and that's really what we try to do as an agency too, is just to challenge the way that we culturally perceive violence, you know, as
okay.
well, too.
Back to this. Sorry. Go ahead.
We're talking with Mandy Elto. She's Executive Director of Advocates for Family Peace. It is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We're having a conversation about some of the things that maybe we need to be talking about more in society.
So you guys have an active relationship with the police. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not. If the police would have been called to this very case that I'm talking about, if I'd have gotten on the line, they're yelling and screaming, he's beating on the car, he's so angry, and if the police pulled up, what may they have done? May they do? That's maybe not a fair question to you.
No, and I'll answer it the best I can, because, of course, I'm not an attorney. But, you know, it just kind of depends. If there's enough there for an arrest, then they will arrest. So each police department has their own domestic violence arrest policy. So depending upon that policy and the guidance that each department has, if there's not enough there for arrest, there's not enough there for an arrest. But they might give, you know, an opportunity for her to leave if she wants, for him to leave sometimes. Because sometimes when it is verbal like that, there may not necessarily be enough for the police to do. But by all means, don't let that deter you from calling if you feel like there's something going on. And oftentimes, too, we'll find people get frustrated. Person's arrested for domestic violence. It gets pled down to a disorderly conduct. There's a lot of things that happen when a person is arrested for domestic violence. It goes through the criminal justice system. People just think this person's going to be thrown in jail and all these things are going to happen, and that doesn't necessarily play out that way. And so people become frustrated sometimes just trying to understand what's happening, you know, with the dynamics in that particular type of crime.
So, Mandy, it's difficult sometimes to be vulnerable. I know I like to appear strong at all times. It's hard to admit when, you know, you're not doing well in life. It would be hard to admit if there's violence going on to your coworkers, to your family. You want to appear like you got everything together in life. What are some of the first steps? How do you get over that hurdle? What's the first thing you would tell me to do if I needed some help in that sense?
Well, when I'm working with individuals that are experiencing a crisis, I always, first of all, just ask them, like, in this moment, what do you need right now? Like, what do you need right now in this moment? And our services, of course, are free and confidential and voluntary. So I always tell people, you know, in this moment, what do you need right now? It might change 2 weeks from now what that need is. But sometimes I think just opening up and taking that courage to say that I need help is sometimes an important step. It really is. And to find a safe person that you feel sharing that experience with. Because I think there, like we talked about, there's always this focus on the victim somehow needing to end the violence. And so sometimes it's hard to come out, and then you're judged and people say, well, you kind of got yourself into this mess. And so then it makes it that much harder than to want to reach out for help. But I think if you can find a safe person to talk to, I think, you know, we all need that safe person.
Mandy, I hit you with this question all the time. Heidi kind of jokingly said, you know, you're trying to put yourself out of a job because, you know, we wanted domestic violence to stop. How honestly is it doing?
Well, to be honest, I think we've kind of lost our way a little bit as a movement. I think, you know, when we came out as that hardcore feminist movement in the 90s, there was some amazing things that were done. There was a lot of reform to the criminal justice system. I think what happens right now, though, is that we have pockets of community where that kind of movement is not going to necessarily work going forward. If you look at our transgender community, our LGBTQ community, some of the people that we're working with, this kind of response to that type of violence is not going to necessarily work going forward. So I think we really have to take a really hard look at ourselves and say, what do we need to be doing better to meet the needs of those that need our help the most? Honestly.
Well, and I want to remind folks, something that I feel like stood out to me in this conversation we had is it doesn't have to be, if you're having a crisis, don't judge that crisis. There is help for you out there. It doesn't have to be this giant thing. You can call for help and help yourself out of a difficult situation that is going on. Don't talk yourself down from getting help, you know, even if it doesn't feel like it's as bad as the movies you see or the, you know, things like that and how it's portrayed.
Right, and I think, too, just that sometimes I think there's a lot of power in knowing that that violence is not your fault. Like, there is nothing you could have ever done that would have justified that type of violence. And I think you have to forgive yourself, too, because there's this idea that somehow if I didn't get myself out, if I didn't keep myself safe, that somehow I failed. Or somehow I'm, you know, like it's all my fault. And I just hope if nothing else, that victims would know that it's not your fault. You know, it's just not their fault.
That is Mandy Alto, Executive Director of Advocates for Family Peace. If you or someone you know needs help, call 800-909-8336 for 24-hour crisis assistance or 911. You can also find lots more information at their website, stopdomesticabuse.org. Is that right?
Yes.
Mandy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show.